it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Heads or tails?
Tails.
He calls tails. It is a head. I will defer.
All right, Gator, you ready?
Give me the damn ball.
All right, there, take it. Yes. Question number one. If you were Penn State AD Pat Kraft, who would be your number one target?
Urban Meyer. He's only 61 years old, a few years removed. I don't care. You know, the controversy seems to be a little bit behind him at this point. He's one of the greatest coaches that's ever coached the game. And going to a school like Penn State seems like that's a place where he could do really well right away. They always recruit well, and he's Urban Meyer. He'll be able to get plenty of transfer recruits. It'd be really interesting if he were there, and I think that's probably the standard for everybody is to try to land Urban Meyer, but nobody's done it since he left.
Pat Fitzgerald, and to me that would be frightening. Giving that man a real program to coach up, look out. Pat Fitzgerald would be my number one target.
All right, guys. We asked a question last week about, James Franklin getting fired or moving on and Kurt Cignetti moving on maybe. Part one of mine was fire Franklin to get Cignetti. You got part one down. Now go get your man because I think he ain't staying in Indiana too long. All right, question number two, Doug. Predict where James Franklin ends up, speaking of.
All right, back at Vanderbilt. Clark Lee's the head coach there. He's got roots at UCLA. Clark leaves Vanderbilt for UCLA, and Vanderbilt and James Franklin reunite where a place that they'll be very happy just to go 7-5. James Franklin back to Vanderbilt.
Back to Vanderbilt after the coach gets poached. Clark Lee going to go, so why not go back to Vanderbilt?
Do it with some enthusiasm. I know we got James the same Franklin. Answer, but do it with enthusiasm.
I don't like that you cheat.
All right, guys.
I went first. You copied my paper.
Gotta do better, Gator.
Go back to Vanderbilt. That's where he started. They got everything going there, and it makes all the sense in the world because I do imagine that their coach is going to get poached by somebody real quick.
Just complete the full trade. Go back to Indiana, or not back to Indiana. Go to Indiana.
That's why the whole Cignetti thing.
Yes, the whole Cignetti thing. Just switch spots. All right, it works out for everybody. Complete the coach trade.
I don't know that Indiana loves that, but.
It's going to change places in the tunnel, that's all.
What is going on with all these early firings, guys?
I just think it's easier to fire coaches these days, given that everything's out in the open, where you're getting your finances from, boosters give you money, you got corporate sponsors that give you money, and the money is so prevalent, it's just that simple to go ahead and buy out a contract nowadays. Look, did Penn State blink an eye when they're giving up nearly $50 million? To swallow the contract of James Franklin? They're not. And they're not going to blink when they give another coach $8 to $12 million a year in a salary. I think the other thing is it's big business, right? The Big Ten is talking about a $2 billion capital agreement. This is really kind of weird. Nobody really understands. But if they're talking $2 billion, schools are getting money. The TV deals are getting bigger and bigger. They're all getting their money in some way. And I just... It just erases bad memories and bad taste in people's mouths. It's easy enough to do.
Okay, this is the third question where I'm going to bring up the name Cignetti. I think this is the Cignetti effect. Kurt Cignetti was smart. He played the cards he knew. In this new era of football, nobody's done it better. He poached Group of Five talent from James Madison and Ohio and Kent and Old Dominion. And he knew all those guys because he played many of them. He either played for them or played with them. And he goes to Indiana. He wins right now. And that's the thing it is now. Because of NIL and the transfer portal, you don't build a program. You build a season. You don't get a lot of time anymore. And if it's not working the way it's supposed to with an old school coach, you don't get a lot of time. You must adapt and win now.
You know, I've been saying forever, guys, these big time programs and schools do not care about buyouts. Anyone can get fired at any moment because there's just way too much money in college football. They don't care about buyouts. People complain about players in NIL. Look at these coaches and the guaranteed contracts that they have and all the money that they get paid to leave the school. There's just way too much money. I hate it. It's ruined what really should be a niche sport. And now that all this money's involved, it's turned a lot of people off.
Is the greatest profession in the world to be a football coach? Because you get fired all the time and you get paid. You get paid because you were terrible at what you did. You get paid because you're great at what you did. It's amazing that they're paying somebody $50 million to walk away. The coaching profession is unbelievable.
How many big teams or Big Ten teams will make the college football playoff, and who are they?
Okay, I think something's about to happen. Right now, the SEC is getting a ton of love. They have 10 ranked teams. I think they're about to cannibalize one another, bruising resumes, and it shouldn't matter. If you play a tough schedule, you should be rewarded for it, but the reality is it does matter. So I'm sticking with my prediction. It's going to be Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, and I think the winner of the Michigan-Washington game. And you know, and the thing about that is they both are going to be favored. Whoever wins that game is going to be favored in all their games right until the end. And then Washington will have to beat Oregon to get in, or Michigan will have to play the no way they beat Ohio State this year game again and win it. So I think the winner of the Michigan-Washington game gets in.
Well, there is the no way they're going to beat Ohio State game again this year, which is just how it is,
know,
right?
There's no way they're going to. Their annual no way.
It should be massive for Michigan. However, just go with chalk and assume that Ohio State wins that game. I think there's four teams. You left one of them out. Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, USC is the fourth team. I mean, USC has one loss this year. The only game they have left is against Oregon. So I think as long as they handle themselves well in that game, if it ends up being their second loss of the season, I think you're going to see four Big Ten teams get in.
I don't punch buttons.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The win over Notre Dame this week.
It's true. They do play Notre Dame this week.
So I got three. I got the ones that are currently in there right now. It's Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon. I don't think things change. I don't think anyone else jumps anybody like Washington or USC. But so I just go with chalk. I think those three are pretty good representatives of the Big Ten, though. And I like the fact that it's not. I know this is the good thing about expanding college football playoffs is you do get more teams from the conference. I know the purists don't like it, but this is the way it's going with all the money I mentioned with the previous question. All right, well, we see Nick Saban or Urban Meyer return to college football.
Yes, I think you'll see one of the two. I don't know if Nick Saban's going to go back to college football, and he is considerably older than Urban Meyer, but Urban's only 61. And I think that someone is going to just go out there and get that crazy, stupid corporate money and throw it at his feet and say, let's go, come on board. And I think it could happen as early as this offseason.
Funny that you asked this question, because the night before Michigan played Wisconsin, I was at a function standing there with some people, and in walked Urban Meyer, who immediately was called over, and somebody asked Urban Meyer, could you coach in this world? And he said, hell no. And then he proceeded to tell us that not coaching has saved him years off the end of his life. What he does with his free time, said he could never rest when he was coaching, and he's so happy to be doing what he's doing. Could it be full of poi? He could be. But in that moment in time, face to face, that's what he told me. Saban, I've had no conversations with, but he seems pretty happy. So I'm going to go no, neither of them coach again.
Yeah, I got neither guys doing it because they're used to paying players under the table, not above it. So this is a totally different world, like you mentioned, Doug, what they're used to. Saban is too old. We saw what a current 73-year-old coach is doing right now at UNC, not working well, out too well. And I know they're different coaches, but I think he's beyond the age of going back. And Urban Meyer, you just mentioned it. I think he's used to doing things illegally. And, you know, now it's all in the open, right? Allegedly. All right, last one. A columnist in Orlando is proposing UCF, University of Central Florida, becomes actually the University of Orlando. Should they actually do this?
I find this hysterical. Like, what if they did this everywhere? Because then this weekend, the University of Orlando would be taking on Morgantown University. It doesn't sound right to me. Central Florida is pretty vague, and like South Florida is like 20 miles south of Central Florida. They're kind of more east-west aligned than, but anyway, it sounds very Division II to me. University of Orlando. Orlando is a national,
it's a max school, an
international destination. And so they should have called themselves University of Orlando in the first place, but at the end of the day, it sounds too D2 to me to make this change.
Yeah, I agree. I think, no, it sounds so much better as UCF when you hear it. I mean, would you want, and I went the direction of the directional schools. Like, would you want Mount Pleasant University or Ypsilanti U? Or you actually would have two schools playing in Southern California. You would have UCLA, but you'd also have the University of Los Angeles instead of USC. It just sounds ridiculous when you get down to it. And you're right, Doug. The University of Orlando, it sounds like a MAC school. Mm-hmm. It's like Miami of Ohio, University of Orlando, and Toledo are all going to, you know, vie for the MAC championship. I think it's ridiculous.
So you guys make good points about the other schools, but now we're talking about Orlando and UCF here. I say yes. In fact, I say go full Disney. I want Mickey, Goofy, and Donald Duck taking recruits to the strip club. I want Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck waiting at the frat house.
Wow.
Forget the Cavender sisters. Have you met Anna and Elsa from Frozen? Yeah, go full on. University of Orlando, I'm all in.
There it is. That concludes the Wide 9 Omaha 4 Down. No, this is the college NIL transfer portal blitz thingy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.